We should pray for every member of our church to know that they are the children of God and that they have every need, everything they need, every moment. I have a friend who lives in Canada, and I met this man some years ago in South Africa, where he had lived for many years. And when his work there was finished, he and his wife decided to come back and live in England because they are British. And when he came home, his wife became ill, and she died with bone cancer. And he went to live in Canada. And he became quite discouraged with Christian Science. He felt that it didn't answer his wife's need or his. So he went to Canada and he attended church, but he didn't become a member. He felt that he didn't want to. Well, I have seen him several times over the years, and he calls me a couple of times a week, or sometimes I call him. And just about 18 months ago, he called me and said that he hadn't been feeling well, and he asked me for some help. And I was quite pleased because he had not been wanting Christian Science help. So I gave him some help, and then I had to go away to give some talks. And I asked him if he wanted me to stay with him while I was away, and he said no, it would be okay. So when I came back, he told me he'd gone to medical in the meantime. And they had taken him into hospital, and they'd done all these tests, and they said that he had bone cancer and that he only had 3 months to live. And he was very, very calm about it all. He said, I'm a good age, and I've had a good life, and I'm prepared to go. They told me to set all my affairs in order. So he said, I've sold my car, and I've paid for my own funeral. And I said, look, why don't you start planning your testimony, not your funeral? And he said, well, I told you I don't want Christian Science treatment. I've chosen to go this route, and you have to respect my wishes. So I said, okay. But he still would call me. And sometimes I would quote something from Mrs. Eddy's writings, and he would say, no, you stop that. No, we're not having any Christian Science treatment. And I would say, well, okay, well, what about the 23rd Psalm? How does that grab you? And he would say, that's okay. Well, what about the Lord's Prayer? And that's okay too. So we would pray with the Lord's Prayer, and we'd pray with the 23rd Psalm. But no Christian Science getting in there. So we did this for several months, and he had to go back a few months ago for a checkup, and the doctors couldn't believe it, and they x-rayed him three times, and they said, we don't know what's happened, but your cancer has been arrested. We can't find it anymore, and you can go home. He came home, he moved house, he moved into a place where there are other people his age, but he could have his own apartment, and he's getting well fed. And he's going out, he's been to the theater, and he's doing all sorts of things. And I was so grateful that I had the patience to stay with him. Because there were times I felt like saying, well, why are you calling me? You don't want Christian Science treatment. So why are you calling me? You know, that's all we need. We need a little bit more love, a little bit more encouragement, a little bit more of caring for each other. I have a good friend in New York whose grandmother, or great-grandmother was, went through class, had class instruction when she was 15 with one of Mrs. Eddy's students. She went through class at that age because her parents were both going through class, and they wrote to the teacher and they said, we don't know what to do with our 15-year-old while we're having class. And she said, bring her along, dear. And she came and she sat through class. And at the end of the class, the teacher told them to do what Mrs. Eddy told her students, go out and heal somebody. And this young girl healed her neighbor of Bright's disease. And she was only 15. She went into the full-time practice when she was 18, and she was a teacher at 22. And this great-granddaughter of hers told me that when she was a teenager, she was at the ice rink skating, and she fell. And this very tall young man, who was about 6'4", ran over his face, her face, with his rollerblade skate, and severed her nose from her face. And her face looked absolutely terrible. And her parents were at their association meeting, and they brought her to a hospital, but she said she didn't want to stay there, and they said, believe me, you have to stay here. You're going to need plastic surgery. And anyhow, she stayed there overnight, and her parents came back the next day, and her parents said, you know, you could maybe have a terrible scar right on your face, and she's very pretty. Do you want Christian Science treatment, or do you want to go along with the medical? She said, I won't mind. In this case, this is very serious. But this young girl said, no, I want to work it out in Christian Science. And they lived in a very small community, and they came up against much criticism because the bruising on her face looked so bad, and people thought that her parents were neglecting her. But she was completely healed in 6 weeks. She's a practitioner today as well. Isn't it wonderful to meet all these people in our movement who've been so faithful all through the years? Well, another thing I want to talk to you about is you know, in Mrs. Eddy's time, Mrs. Eddy kept a watch for 1 hour every day. And some of her students did that too. And there was a Mrs. Mims. Have you ever heard of Mrs. Mims? She was a great Christian Science teacher. And she encouraged her students to keep a watch as well. And this is something from the memoirs of Elizabeth Earl Jones, who was a student of Mrs. Mims. It says, in the memoirs of Elizabeth Earl Jones, one of the early workers in the field, we are told that Elizabeth learned early to be a consecrated world worker. When she was with her teacher, Mrs. Mims, which was often, Mrs. Mims would call Miss Jones to her in the evening, when she spent an hour every evening working for the whole world. They joined in the evening watch held by our leader and other of her students, and the whole world benefited because of it. Now, I myself have loved the idea of the evening watch, and I try to do it, especially when I'm at home. It's difficult when you're traveling to keep to that, but I do try to do it when I'm at home. And one thing I would like to say to Americans, please keep an evening watch and pray more for your country. Do you know that you have the most precious country in the world? The most wonderful country. Only America could have been ready for Christian Science. There's not another country in the world. Ireland couldn't have been ready. America has such a big, expansive thought. It could only have been born here. And so error would try to spoil your country by letting all sorts of wickedness in. Wickedness in your government, wickedness in your young people, to try to ruin the best country in the world. And you have to pray for it. I often pray for America. And Miss Jones recognized the importance of the United States, and she saw the consistent need of prayerful support for it. And she wrote this The United States of America is the birthplace of Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. As our Constitution was evolved as the result of prayer, it requires prayer to sustain, guide, and prosper America. No other country would or could have protected and safeguarded the discoverer and founder of Christian Science and her teachings and her church, as has our great republic. America, to me, is like Joseph in the Bible. Joseph's brothers were very jealous of him because he had a different mother, a mother that his father loved very much. And his father loved Joseph, and he gave him this very special coat of many colors, which really only belonged to kings and people high up in authority. They were very jealous and envious of this. And because of that, they tried, first of all, to kill him. And they took away his coat in many colors and dipped it in sheep's blood and took it back to his brother, to their father, and pretended that he had died. And they put him in a pit, and he was sold into slavery. But no matter what happened, he accepted it with such dignity because he, as a young man, had a vision. A vision that he saw these seven sheaves of corn bowing to him. And he knew that God had a special purpose for his life. So it didn't matter what happened. He realized, he kept the secret of his purpose. And even when he was in jail and he was tempted again by his boss's wife, he never gave in to those temptations. And he became the head of this big country. And in the end, he was able to feed his own father and brothers. And he forgave them. And he said to them, "It wasn't you that sent me hither. It was God." And I think America's like Joseph. The world is jealous of America, just like his brothers were jealous of him. But I believe that America has a very special purpose in God's plan. And we have to pray to see that that plan can evolve without hindrance. And Miss Jones relates a wonderful example of how prayer and watching can make a difference in our government and to the leaders of a country, whichever country that happens to be. And this is a story. President Hoover was to be at Kings Mountain Battlefield in North Carolina for a ceremony. A few days before this was to take place, a Secret Service man interested in Christian Science discovered a plot to assassinate the president. He stopped off in Asheville to contact Miss Jones, and failing to reach her, gave the information to her sister Emily with the urgent request for Miss Jones to do special prayerful work. And Miss Jones wrote of this experience, "My sister and I shut ourselves in our room and worked the 4 hours that the president was in our state. We did nothing but work. While we were working, we both seemed to feel overwhelmed with the most terrific sense of load and burden. It was almost crushing in its cruel weight. But we worked on until we felt it lift. We handled hate, hypnotism, criticism, propaganda, confusion of human opinions, human influences, prejudices, etc. It lifted as we worked, until we could feel that the burden was upon God's shoulders, as was the government also. Meanwhile, at the battlefield, appropriate security steps were being taken, and all went well. The morning after, the president returned to Washington. His private secretary gave an interview to the Associated Press, in which he said how much the president had enjoyed his visit to North Carolina and how rested and refreshed he felt from his brief trip south. Then the secretary asked, "The president says that since his return, he has felt the lifting of a crushing load that descended upon him when he took the oath of office. And this is the first time in 2 years that he's had any relief from it.